We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Make no mistake, from now on, when I go on vacation,
please tell me
you will be getting a detailed itinerary.
I know exactly where you're going.
I wouldn't have been able to predict the San Quentin thing ahead of time
because
I sort of fell into that.
That was a bit of a surprise. Yeah, but the torture chamber, you knew you were going to go visit that.
Well, I knew I was going to visit the castle. I didn't know there was a torture
chamber. Not prepared for that. You knew you were going to climb Mount Washington.
I did know that.
So next time. All right.
I did, by the way, on my Twitter feed, I tweeted out the article that I was telling you about.
Yeah, Mount Washington kills.
Why Mount Washington kills. It didn't kill anybody while I was there.
That you know about.
Well, that's a good point.
In your area, but it's a big mountain, so I wouldn't just make these grand claims.
A lot of places where you could have died.
That's right.
I will admit there are places all over the place there, but
it's a nice thought.
I've realized that as the afternoon has gone along,
yeah,
that my lack of sleep has caught up somewhat.
Oh no!
Oh no! I'm making a comeback.
Oh
now.
Good, because it's the money hour.
The money hour. And I'm making a comeback.
Do you need green drink?
Oh, yes.
See, I pointed
we do
out,
need
I,
green
well,
drink.
I pointed out to Rossi earlier. Yeah. Because of flight delays.
Yeah, 7 hours.
Not JetBlue's fault. I mean, you know.
Oh, just put them out there, huh?
Thunderstorms in New York delayed the airplanes getting to San Francisco. So instead of getting home at 10-something last night, which was the original plan,
yeah,
I landed at 3:15 this morning.
A little later.
Got to bed at 4:30 this morning.
Oh, boy.
According to my Fitbit, and I think I'm better off if I don't look.
I wouldn't look at that.
That's the worst feature
on
that
thing.
Yeah,
what would you do?
3 hours and 45 minutes of sleep, and I'm good to go.
There you go. You're refreshed.
No,
ready
not
to go.
So much.
Sometimes I feel like 2 hours or 3 hours is better than like 5 or 6. Does that make sense? Like sometimes
what?
If you don't, when you go to bed at like 3 and you wake up at 6, it's better than if you went to bed at 1 and had to wake up at 6.
What do you? How?
How does that
know.
Math work?
Because
you
don't get like a deep sleep or something. You're up and you're like, all right, I feel better. Like I'm not as.
I don't ever sleep more than 5 hours these days. I'll tell you that right now. So
really?
I don't know what you're talking about. No.
What?
Even if I have like 12 to sleep, I will not put in more than 5.
Old curmudgeon.
5 hours of sleep? You must get so much done then.
It sucks.
I try to sleep as much as possible.
Do you sleep on planes? By the way,
no, I can't.
I don't do well at all.
I can't. No.
Flight was great. Zipped along, they made up time, all that stuff, but I didn't sleep.
I can't.
I did watch John Wick 2 for the 12th
time. That's a good film. John Wick 3 is coming out
Well,
next
I've watched
year.
John Wick 2 for about the 12th time.
Did he kill another dog in that one?
Well, spoilers.
No,
but he got a puppy, though, I think. Didn't he get another puppy in that one at the end, didn't he?
No, it was still his dog.
No, well, not from the first one.
Well, no, it was a different dog. Different dog.
I thought
you meant at the end of the movie. No,
no, no, no.
This dog survived the movie, I'm happy to report.
That's good.
All right, let's catch up on some of the things that are going on. Of course, the All-Star Game, well, technically not the All-Star Game, but the Home Run Derby is tonight.
Derby!
He's been telling you about that.
Yep, very excited.
We don't have...
No!
I'm happy to report.
Sadly, no.
So none of that stuff. But the Celtics... sadness. The Celtics were eliminated.
I know.
From the Summer League playoffs.
They didn't advance.
By the Portland Trailblazers, for God's sake.
I know.
And one of the questions of the offseason for Celtics fans has been Marcus Smart. How much is it going to take? You're going to have to back up the Brinks truck and all that stuff. Mark Murphy on the Celtics Beat Pod talked about the possibility that Marcus Smart now might be looking at accepting the one-year qualifying deal.
Would Marcus Smart be satisfied? Would he be satisfied returning on the one-year qualifying offer and then becoming unrestricted next year?
I don't think he'd be satisfied, but I think he's prepared to do it. I don't think they want to do it. I think this is going to go deep into the summer while they try to find something. One thing they have discussed with other teams, I had it in my story earlier this week, they've talked sign and trade scenarios with interested teams, but it would depend on what the Celtics would get back.
What do you think they'd be targeting?
I'm not sure there's a lot out there now. Everybody wants to unload bad contracts. Danny's not going to take a bad contract.
So, yeah, I think Smart's playing on the one-year qualifying offer. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
It's interesting because Murphy went on to talk about You know, how much, what's the price point now for Marcus Smart?
What's the feeling in Smart's camp right now about where they're at and where this is heading?
They're starting to lower their sights. I think, you know, they're willing to take less. I think at this point they're just trying to sort of recoup something. It obviously hasn't worked out well for them.
Do you know how much less he's willing to accept?
I think it's somewhere along the lines of the deal in October. I think it's, you know, you're talking, you know, somewhere in that 12, 13 range.
Yeah, I would be fine. I think 12 might be the limit for me. Like 12 and under for 4 years or less, I think that I'd be happy with that. I want him on the team, but if he thinks he's going to make 14 plus, like he told Jackie McMullen after they were eliminated,
He's
wrong. That doesn't seem to be out there at all. Or if he wants to bet on himself, say the best offer he gets.
Sort of sounds like Isaiah Thomas, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. It does. But, you know, Marcus Smart's in a position where if teams were really interested in him. So say, for example, like Isaiah Thomas, even if he was a restricted free agent the year before he hurt his hip, and if he had that same kind of a year, I feel like there'd be more teams interested in him and they could get the price up and they could force the Celtics to match. But that hasn't even had to been an issue at all for the Celtics. So maybe he just signs the 1 year qualifying offer, plays on it, and then is an unrestricted free agent next year and can go wherever he wants and make as much money as anybody be willing to pay him.
Oh, no. Right now, as we speak, they're putting the tarp on the field in Washington.
How will this affect the festivities tonight?
Well, will it get rained out? Which it,
have they
be,
ever,
I'd be okay
has
with.
Has the Derby
by
ever
the
been
way.
Rained out?
This time.
Yeah. I don't know.
But as we're sitting here, we've got the monitors on. They're traipsing the tarp out right now. And they moved all the... Yeah, what would we do without that? They moved all the ESPN baseball guys inside.
Jeez.
So maybe it's not going to be so nice in Washington, D.C. tonight.
You got to go retractable roofs only going forward.
The forecast doesn't call for rain, but precipitation 14% as we go on. But yeah, they did say they put the tarp down for precautionary reasons.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Precautionary reasons? Yeah. An abundance of caution?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Frady, right.
Frady scared. That's all it is. So the only reason we're going to play this next cut is because all it says, it's got three words on my cut sheet.
All right, what do you got?
It says Drellick, Swihart, Rant.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, okay, I'm in.
Trade Blake Swihart because he got E-Rod injured? People are out of your minds with Blake Swihart. He catches Jalen Beeks' Major League debut. Oh, man, it's Swihart's fault that Beeks didn't throw well because Swihart didn't call the right pitches. What other night have we ever criticized Christian Vasquez or Sandy Leon for calling the wrong pitches? Now they throw Swihart out at first base and somehow it's on Blake Swihart? It's somehow his fault that he's being asked to play in all these different spots? It's ridiculous. Give him a chance or trade him, but you're not trading him because he got E-Rod hurt.
I'm kind of with him on that.
Yeah, but Blake Swihart kind of sucks, doesn't he?
No, trade him because he got E-Rod hurt?
No, I'm with him on that. That doesn't make any sense. But trade him if you get something for him, sure. You barely use him. And I guess now's a little bit different with Vasquez being hurt. But he's not great. Everybody before was like, oh, you got to find room for him. Like, why? What? They already ruined him by saying he's not a catcher anymore and putting him in left field. But now he's a catcher again. He's also a first baseman. He's supposed to got this great bat. It's like, well, he's hitting like 200. So I'm not really wowed by Swihart. I'm not going to blame him for injuries or guys pitching bad. But if you can get something for him, if another team would be willing to take him and like the upshot of him for a reliever that could help him, I would do that this month.
Start of NFL training camps beginning here in the next few days, and it's kind of the silly season in the NFL where, you know, guys are making wild preseason predictions. Some of them could be clickbait, some of them perhaps not.
Sure.
Tony Romo's got a bold prediction about the Super Bowl next February.
If I was picking right now, I'd probably go with Green Bay versus Jacksonville. I think that would be just a tentative, rough guess here in the summer months.
You think the Packers have put enough around Aaron Rodgers to go all the way this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to be much improved. I think you'll see a couple things that I think are key. And, you know, the Jimmy Graham addition is going to be very big. A lot of the field goals are going to turn into touchdowns because of that and having him as a weapon. And then I think their secondary, which I think has been a weakness for a few years, and cost them some games. I think that's going to improve this year. And And then having a new system. It always gives people within your division trouble.
That's a catch. We got to see this. Oh, that's loose. That is definitely. Ooh. Oh.
Nobody breaks it down better than Tony Romo.
So
Packers, Jaguars, you heard it first.
Time flies.
That was the great moment. That was the best Tony Romo moment from last year. Was that Keith Jackson? They're like, Keith Jackson died. Yeah, time
Dick
flies.
Dick Enberg just 3 weeks ago, and now Dick behind Enberg. Keith Jackson. Very sad times. But what a glorious career in life. 89. He passed away at the age of 89 today, or last night, actually, out in Los Angeles.
Time flies.
Unbelievable.
Ow.
Time flies.
Well, not for him anymore, but for the rest of you.
Maybe it did, I guess. But thank you, Tony. I don't think it's that outrageous to say Packers, Jaguars, is it? I mean, they still have Blake Bortles, but their defense is great. And the Patriots is great. You know, they're the favorite, I think the Vegas favorite, as they probably should be. But, you know, the stat of losing the Super Bowl and then getting back to it is pretty staggering. Teams just don't do that. It's been a very long time since they've been able to bounce back. If anybody could do it, I would assume it's the Patriots. But people are killing him for the prediction. But, like, what do you want him to do? Not predict
well,
it?
Well, if you are a Patriots fan,
yeah,
don't worry. Because Greg McElroy thinks you're still pretty good.
Greg McElroy?
Well, that's all I could up with. Greg McElroy?
Greg McElroy?
We're going to have to look up his stats, but here's his audio. Okay.
Listen, like Alabama, it's hard for me to pick against the king. And the king, as long as Tom Brady is in the league, I hate to say it. You talk about me not buying stock that are worth a whole lot of money. I'm still buying stock in Tom Brady. I don't know how they do it. Probably a lot of time by cheating. But again, it doesn't matter to me. I think it's still hard to go up against the Patriots just because of the mental gymnastics that go along with beating them, right? Like so many
If the NFL doesn't have a stupidly ridiculous catch, no catch rule, I think Pittsburgh's got a real shot of being in that Super Bowl last year.
So the Patriots are Greg McElroy's choice
cheating.
Because they cheat. Probably are cheating.
And a good use of mental gymnastics in there as well. So I don't know. He played for the Jets for 2 games. That was his career. So he's an Alabama guy and a Jets guy.
What is the logic there of the Steelers would be in the Super Bowl because of the catch
rule?
Didn't they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs?
I can't really make heads or tails of that.
That was a regular season game that it changed.
Yeah.
So would give them home field advantage, which didn't they have that over Jacksonville?
Listen, it's complicated, all right? If it wasn't for the catch rule, he's got Jacksonville in there.
By the way, we got up-to-date weather from my texter down in D.C.
Oh, good.
Says it's been pouring for 30 minutes in Potomac, Maryland, so they say they need to be cautious. So at least in some places down there, it's pouring.
Imagine the issues those kids in the outfield are going to have tonight. They're already falling all over the place anyway. Now you get a slick turf. Forget it. There's going to be some broken ankles out there tonight. That's what I'm thinking.
If I was picking right now, I'd probably go with Green Bay versus Jacksonville. I think that would be just a tentative, rough guess here in the summer months.
You're going to find me dead! I'm going to kill myself! I'm going to be hanging from the bathroom! Don't ask me to do nothing! This is nothing!
Tony Romo and an animated football fan.
Steeler fan. Specifically a Steeler fan.
I actually read some hot sports take recently that said the Steelers might not make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, you never know. They may not. Although they have the second best odds right now to win the AFC. There's always a chance of it. Le'Veon Bell's probably not happy. I can see it.
So we told you about Chris Long, who won back-to-back Super Bowls, won with the Patriots the following year with the Eagles when he signed as a free agent in the offseason, played for nothing. All that stuff. I mean, it's an amazing,
incredible
story.
Yeah.
And Chris Long was asked about the whole idea of the drama that seems to surround the Patriots all the time. And Chris Long, who's the son of Howie Long, never at a loss for words, isn't afraid to tell you what he thinks.
Well, I just think any NFL team, any NFL locker room, under a lot of stress over a year period, there are going to be storylines that people can choose to kind of blow out of proportion or not pay attention to. And when you're one of the hallmark franchises in the sports world, I think everybody's going to pay attention to sometimes really small issues. You know, it hasn't, whatever people are alluding to going on up there hasn't affected their play. It hasn't affected their bottom line. It hasn't affected how they execute on Sundays, and that's what they pride themselves in. And, you know, when you got the greatest quarterback of all time and, you know, possibly the greatest coach of all time, you know, that's why they're in those big games. And it took everything for us to beat them. It took a heroic performance by, you know, Nick Foles and the rest of our team, and we had to play our best game. So, you know, while everybody likes to always point to the Patriots as being, you know, under duress, or, you know, there's some drama in the locker room or whatever, there's drama or there are stories that you could blow out of proportion in every locker room. They're just on top, and those stories sell because they've been so great. And it hasn't affected them. They've been right there. They were a play or two away from beating us. They're a Hail Mary bounce away from forcing overtime in the Super Bowl this past year. And it took everything to beat them.
Now, some guys who leave here go out with all guns blazing and, you know, can't wait to take shots. He doesn't sound like
that. No, he didn't at all. And didn't a lot of us think that when Lane Johnson was talking about how, you know, people are miserable playing for the
Patriots?
Thought
it was coming from him.
Thought it was Chris Long or LeGarrette Blount, but, that, you know, Chris Long, who was here for the 1 year, won a Super Bowl, and then even right after the game was like, that's it for me. Like, thanks so much. Like, you knew he didn't really want to be back here. Not that I'm saying he was miserable or anything like that, but he thought maybe he would give it a little bit more when asked about what's going on with these guys, but he's... No, you'd be very complimentary. He says, yeah, they're because they're so good, there's a lot of attention on them. Now, he also wasn't here all year. So if you're thinking that some of this stuff is a little bit more new, I don't think Chris Long could really speak to that. Right? Like, there's a lot of these stories.
For a year, right.
A lot of these stories seem to be a little bit more, you know, fresher, whether it's Tom Curran, Wickersham, whoever. They seem to be from this season. But I think Long's just saying, hey, when you're a team that is as successful as they are, of course you're going to be talking about him a lot and looking for different storylines.
So he's saying those nice things. How did the interviewer not follow up with, well, your teammate Lane Johnson says the following about them?
Do we know that did not happen? I don't know. I only heard the one cut.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that would have made headlines. Yeah, that would have made it. We did not hear that.
It would be, you're right, Andy. It would be the logical, normal follow-up.
Right. Like, what do you think of that? Especially for a guy who played there for a whole year, but... He's saying nothing to see here, but again, he's a year removed from it. So,
he certainly did his job here, performed, you know, at a good level, not the highest level, but was a good player here.
He was fine.
Helped them win a Super Bowl, absolutely helped. Earned his ring, deserved it. Went on to Philadelphia, won another one. Good for him.
But I think both can be true. I think you can say the Patriots, especially Brady and Belichick, are going to get a lot of attention no matter what. But I also don't think that it's like, oh, nothing to see here. Like, everything's fine. Like, I don't think that's true. I think there's enough evidence pointing that there's something that's a little bit off. There's something that's a little bit different than years past.
I did want to ask you, and I meant to do this earlier. We got sidetracked on stuff, and I didn't get a chance to ask, but were you watching the World Cup over the weekend?
I did. I did watch the World Cup. And so I was, so it was a thrilling final. And so I tweeted something out, and Soccer Fan gets so upset with me, Dale.
Soccer Fan does not like you.
Soccer Fan does not
now,
like anybody fan, that doesn't watch Soccer Fan
no,
all
no,
the time.
No, Soccer Fan is upset that you don't like soccer, but then if you say something about soccer, they get mad at
so
you.
So I do like soccer. I just don't watch a lot of soccer, but I watch a decent amount of World Cup. And so I made some sort of like a snarky comment on that bad goal.
Yeah, you?
Well, so it was 4-1. I don't know. Did you watch the game at all? Did you have a chance? Or you were probably...
I was sitting in an airport. I had lots of chances.
Oh, so you watched.
Yeah.
So when it was 4-1 and then France let in that easy one, right? And I said something like, hey, goalie, like, you can use your hands. And everybody, I got a lot of hate on the tweets being like, you idiot. It was a pass back. He can't use his hands. Don't talk about something you don't know. Don't embarrass yourself. I'm like, yeah, I'm super embarrassed right now that I didn't know a soccer rule. We talk so much soccer on the show. I can't believe how on earth did I not know every single soccer rule. Some of them were nice. Some of them were like commented, said, actually, he can't. And I'm like, oh, okay. Noted. Everybody, but a lot of it
willing
was just,
to help you
yeah,
grow
that's
the
fine.
Game, learn the game.
those people I respect. It's the other people like, how, like, don't speak about something you don't know. I'm like, well, then I wouldn't say much most days if that was the case. Like, give me a break. That soccer fan, and I feel, Dale, there is some overlap. Even hockey fan is similar. When people start watching hockey in the playoffs that weren't watching it all year and they comment, a lot
that's
of diehard fair. Fan, get, they get kind of mad.
Oh, no,
they go,
fair.
Yeah, so it's soccer fan to a different level because you
well,
know,
soccer
the World
fan
Cup
feels even more inferior.
Even more so, absolutely.
The inferiority complex yeah. is even deeper for soccer
but
fan.
I was like, geez, I'm just trying to enjoy a nice little weekend eating my pizza and beer and watching some soccer at
lots
11 a.m.
Lots of pizza.
Well, most, oh, no, that
lots
was donuts at that point.
Oh, that was...
I had to separate the meals. It was like a brunch. It was like a brunch donuts. It was delicious. But, yeah, I thought the soccer was fun to watch, but I'm sorry I don't know every single rule.
One thing I learned off. In this World Cup is... breakaways are not good for goalies. Every goalie who has to face a breakaway looks so damn bad. They just always end up going the opposite
the
way.
Is so, oh, it's, you're, it's huge. You're talking about penalty kicks.
Or, you know, whatever. It's a one-on-one goalie versus player. The goalie always ends up going the
well,
opposite
way. Well, the net is so big, you really have no choice. You have to guess.
And they just kick
and you
these
make your
rockets.
Best guess. And
yeah. You just dive one
if
way.
If you guess
really.
Right, it hits you.
Yeah.
And you look like a hero, and if you guess wrong, you look stupid.
I don't think I saw anyone guess right. Though.
That's why I think if I was the guy, the striker in that sense, I would just kick it straight because those guys always dive one way or the other. Just kick it right at them, and then like right where they were, because they rarely ever stand still.
Tuesday afternoon, early afternoon, I was in the Embarcadero in San Francisco. They had these huge TV screens set up outside. And it was the France semifinal, and there was a huge, gigantic crowd all sitting out in this park in this giant grassy
area.
That
must have been everybody in the country watching because the ratings were not great. No, I mean, I was watching, but they were down because no U.S., they were in the dumps this year. Like down like 40% from last World Cup.
People who know better than me say it was a great World Cup. The one thing I did read that shocked me is it is the first World Cup in anybody's memory where not a single player received a red card for dirty play. So it's like
the kinder, friendlier World Cup,
apparently.
Well, that's good to see, because usually you can get pretty cutthroat out there. Guys lying on the ground like they got shot.
It's the and soccer fan really gets mad when I say this,
yeah.
And I am a soccer fan. I'm not as worldly as some of these others.
You turn it on every day in here.
It is
that
scandal. I know, it drives them crazy. it is the thing that drives American fans the nuttiest. Is the faking, the diving, the fake injuries.
Although,
and then as soon as you say that, say, yeah, what about Marchand?
Yeah, or the NBA. Because I was saying that the other day, and somebody's like, well, what about the NBA? I'm like, that's true. I've sort of gotten used to it in the NBA.
Oh,
guys going down, a lot of flopping.
No,
it's definitely worse than soccer, but it's not. I mean, Marcus Smart, he does a little bit of that.
Oh, no, no,
you know,
absolutely
like, plenty
does.
Of guys do.
Marchand does, and I'm not taking anybody off the hook.
But soccer,
my
they
point
do it
is
so
in
much.
Soccer. It is so dramatic.
It's much too much.
It's so over the top. And, you know, as you said, they literally act like they've been shot by a sniper rifle.
And they roll around, they convulse on the field, and then they get up, and then they sprint down. And you're like, what, you were fine the whole time? Like, almost nobody's ever really hurt. There was one guy I saw break his nose during group play. That was pretty nasty. But everybody else, they're fine.
I mean,
just get up.
And it's never very hard to tell. As soon as they show a replay, you go, okay, that hurt.
Well, they grab like the wrong part.
Yeah,
like, they get hit in like the knee, and they're grabbing their head. It's just they're a mess. They're a mess out there. But in 4 years, the United States will have their big comeback. They're going to bounce back.
And then in 8 years,
they're going to host it. So then you know they'll be in it.
I know that because Vladimir Putin gave President Trump a soccer ball today.
Oh, that's good.
Which Donald Trump then passed off to his wife and said he was giving it to his son, Barron.
Nice. That's a nice moment.
That was the only part of the stuff he said today that wasn't controversial. That pretty much covered the part
that was a nice moment they had
there. Pissed people off.
Yeah, most likely.
Kathy's in Boston. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
Hi. I hate to call with a mistake because I love you guys, listen to you all the time, but the thing with the Time Flies, I think that was Christian Fourier. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no, it was definitely Romo. It was Romo on the air. We played the cut before. Yeah, I'm sure Fourier talked about it, but it's 100% Romo.
Okay. All right. I trust you guys.
All right, Kathy.
Apparently not, Kathy.
I'm sure those guys talked about it because everybody did. So Kathy was saying that Time Flies was a Fourier quote.
No.
We literally played the whole thing. It was a Tony Romo thing.
We have the recording. It's all
I bet
labeled
Fourier did it as a joke because every show talks about it the next day.
They think we lost Dick Enberg just 3 weeks ago, and now right behind it, Keith Jackson. Very sad times.
This is Jim Nance.
But
CBS
what a glorious career
kind of
in
sounds
life.
Like Glenn.
89.
I don't know.
He passed away at the age of 89 today, or last night actually, out in Los Angeles.
Here comes Romo.
Time flies.
Live. Ow. Seriously?
Jim, jump in there. Third down. There, thank you. God.
He's looking at him like, that's what you give me?
Time flies? You couldn't say, Kathy, hey, I remember watching him play, or I'm sorry, I remember watching him call games and listen to him.
Live.
I'm going to defend my buddy Christian Fourier.
Yeah.
That wasn't him.
He would have done that.
That was Tony Romo on the broadcast with Jim Nance.
Time flies.
She probably remembers Fourier and those guys talking about it, because I think everybody talked about it.
How could you not?
But that is a Romo original, if there ever was one.
This portion of the program, Final Drive, sponsored by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. Volani's coming in just a little bit. He'll be joining Keith for the first hour of Everkeith.
It's a full Everkeith tonight and all week long, I think, right? No Red Sox. We got full program, so you're going to get Chris Volani at night. I think once he gets in here, he'll be on until 10 o'clock. So,
all right, that's
good.
You were forced to watch one of these two shows. You do not have a choice.
All right, I have to watch one.
You have to watch one of the two.
All right.
The Home Run Derby tonight.
Oh, boy.
Or the ESPYs.
Oh, no. Oh,
you have to watch one.
Ooh, how long?
Start
can
to
I ask
finish.
A question?
No. Start to finish. You got to watch the whole thing.
All right, how long?
You don't have to watch the celebrity softball game after the Home Run Derby.
So the Home Run Derby is usually about 3 hours long. It's a bit of a slog. Are the ESPYs 3 hours?
They're pretty long, right?
It's like an award. I mean, it's like the Oscars of, you know, but for sports. I guess Home Run Derby.
See, I thought that the actual reward for sporting events was the score.
Yeah.
You know, the trophy.
Yes.
But I guess what you're really trying to get is an ESPY.
No. I mean, award shows can be entertaining if you have a really good host and they're telling good jokes and everything, but I don't think the ESPYs.
You don't think Danica Patrick is going to keep
is she
you
the host?
She is hosting the ESPYs this year.
Are they? Oh, they're this week, right?
Wednesday.
Oh, okay. That's why you asked the question. That you're just putting like another thing that's unwatchable.
No, because these are the days. Today
I will give them that.
And Wednesday, where there's no sporting events.
Smart for them to put it on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's actually a pretty good idea. I feel like the UFC or somebody should take advantage and do like a Wednesday card or do something. Like, there's no sports. There's nothing else on Wednesday. They should take from that audience. But I guess I would choose the Home Run Derby.
The Home Run Derby.
This is not a great year for it. Again, with the who's who of who's in there. But, I mean, you know, Bryce Harper could put on a bit of a show. It's kind of lost its luster, certainly for me. You know, part of it is not having the star players, but even with the star players, all right, I mean, I've seen 20 home run derbies or whatever it is now. Like, I kind of get it. At least the slam dunk contest, which is another one people have made an argument for that it's gotten stale. It's like, yeah, but they can do different things, and every once in a while you might see something different. Home run derby is just guys socking dingers, which is great, but I don't know.
Somebody out at 93.7 The Game in San Francisco this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Not so much.
93.7,
Yeah, 93. I think it was. It might have been 95.7. I forget.
Yeah,
it was called The Game.
The Game.
And I know they were talking about how baseball needs a skills competition.
I'm in. Mookie Betts said the same thing.
What would you do?
I would do a
like the Tom
sprint.
Omansky thing where you're throwing the ball into the
yes,
into
I
the
would, Dale.
Can.
Yes, I would do. I'd have a garbage can at home, and I'd have outfielders chucking them in there. I'd have guys running from first to third or first to second or whatever. Find out who the fastest guy is.
I see hamstring pulls all over that.
Well, let me do you one better. I'm going to have a bunch of pitchers see if they can pump 102, 103 on the old gun.
It's the worst idea.
That?
Oh, yeah. I want Chris Sale trying to see how hard he can throw
Not
the ball.
Not only that, I'm going to have shortstops doing the same thing. See how hard those guys throw it. There was a rule. Rafael Furcal could throw the ball like 95 miles an hour.
Well, Mookie supposedly.
Add him to the list. Get him in there. We talked about this last week. There should be a five-tool challenge and have all these guys do a little bit of everything. Have them take part in the home. It's like the decathlon, Dale, for baseball. So you have them, you know, participate in the Home Run Derby. Then you have them run to first base. You have them, you know, field a grounder and rifle it home. Maybe spin a double play.
I got to be honest. That sounds horrible.
Why? Why?
It sounds like watching infield practice.
No, it doesn't. Well, people like that. I'd have him play Pepper. I'd have him play Pickle.
You're not allowed to play Pepper. Don't you see the signs?
No, you have to go outside the stadium. You have to go in the parking lot and play Pepper. There's got to be some other. They got to be able to spice this up. Hockey has like a nice skills competition.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Basketball has a fun night. They got the 3-point shootout. They got the dunk contest.
Throwing the ball in that net thing.
Yeah, that's a skills, whatever they call it. I think that might just be skills competition. Football, even though, I mean, they do something.
No, football
I think.
Killed they? This comp. No, they used to.
They used to. Remember the old QB challenge?
Yeah, those were fun.
It was always like Gus Frerotte versus Trent Green, and you're like, eh.
Mark Brunell was in a lot of those as well.
He was. Cordell Stewart, like, what an athlete. This guy can do it all.
Yeah, they used to be a lot of fun, and then Robert Edwards.
You're doing flag on the sand.
But that was part of the event.
No, I know, but you're asking for it. You were asking for it at that point.
But aren't you kind of asking for it if you're trying to have Mookie Betts run?
Oh, I'm not going to have him run in quicksand, Rossi. I'm going to have him run on the field.
Well, still, this could happen.
So just do nothing then? Just do nothing.
They're doing what they're doing.
Just do nothing.
Well, they keep trying to spice this up, and it's like,
nah, this is dumb.
Let's put a clock on it now.
There should only be four guys in it, too, because you got a bunch of nobodies.
So, shouldn't Bryce Harper win this thing going? They always rig it so that the hometown team.
Yeah, he might.
Hometown guy wins.
Yeah, he probably should.
Go back to Jason Bay. They didn't rig it that year.
Oh, he didn't hit any.
That was in Pittsburgh.
Was that in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
And he didn't hit a single one, right?
Zero dingers.
Ah, it's tough.
And don't you feel like Bryce Harper's not even going to try?
You never know with Bryce Harper.
I was surprised he even entered.
They must have sweetened the pot for him.
Yeah, he made I think it was halfway through the first half.
They paid him.
He said, if I am voted in as an all-star starter in D.C., I will take part in
home run
derby.
Like 215.
Yeah, I think it's 220 something.
Oh, is he up to 220? He had a hot weekend, I guess. Oh, I mean, he's got a bunch of dingers, and like, he's the only star player in the thing. So that's fine, but he's only doing it because he's in the home. So if this game wasn't in Washington, you wouldn't even have Bryce Harper. You'd have.
I would
less
assume
of
he
group.
Would not be doing.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You'd have even less of a group.
He's at batting 214.
214.
And he's
in a
still
contract
gonna, and
year.
Somebody's still going to give him $40 million a year.
I know.
But 23 home runs.
No, I know. That's nothing to sneeze at. But he's starting in the All-Star game, and he's hitting 214. Like, come on.
Your starters for the Red Sox, you've got Mookie leading off. You've got J.D. Martinez. Isn't he batting cleanup, I think?
Yeah, how about Betts, Altuve, Trout, Martinez?
Not bad, 1-4.
That is incredible. That's as good as it gets. I mean, that goes back to like the 90s and early 2000s All-Star lineups. That is that good because you have two MVPs in there, and then you have a guy in Mookie Betts who finished second, and right now you have J.D. Martinez who could win it this year. So if Betts or Martinez win it, you have three MVPs hitting in the top four of that lineup. Like that's as good as there is. And then you got like what we get Mitch Moreland off the bench, Sale starting the game, and then Kimbrel could close it.
Didn't I read over the weekend when I was out in San Francisco, but I was reading this.
San Quentin.
No, it's just a quick trip by there.
All right.
Didn't I read somewhere that Mookie has now passed Trout for WAR for the year?
No, he has not.
What was the 12.9 to 12.6? What was that number that I read about?
I couldn't speak to that. The WAR, what is it good for? Right now, Mike Trout's 6.8. Mookie Betts is third with a 6.3. For the season.
This must have been offensive WAR because they break it down with that too.
They do. Or there was also they did, you know, the last 2 years. There's been a bunch of different stats that have been put out there and they're pretty close. Because we got into a bit of an argument on Friday, you know, who's better, Betts or Trout. And I still think it's Trout, but I think he's the only guy now in the entire game that is better than Mookie Betts. And the seasons that they're having are pretty identical. Like when you look at the numbers across the board, they're hard to separate the two. And that's what I think.
When does he get frustrated and say, I got to get out of here?
Trout?
Nobody knows who the hell I am.
2 years.
This team stinks. No matter how good I am, you know, we just limp along.
Yeah, he's played in one playoff series his entire career. And he's first or second in the MVP just about every single season. He's under contract for another couple of years because they sweeten the pot for him. So he's making $34 million this year, next year, and in 2020. But then he's a free agent. So he could absolutely go somewhere else.
There is no way he'll re-sign there.
I don't think so. I mean, unless he loves it there and the team is a little bit better, that number is going to be silly. Like he and Mookie Betts right around the same time. I mean, $40 million or more, right? I mean, there's a chance the way the baseball contracts have gone up, he could make more than $40 million a year. I wonder if Harper will get that this year, even though he's not had a very good season.
I don't think anybody's going to look at this season and decide, you know what, we got to knock that money down a little bit.
Because they're still so young. Like, all these guys are so young. Right. I mean, Harper's, what, 25? So he's going to get an insane number. And Manny Machado's going to get a crazy contract, too. It'll be those two guys this year, and then you got to wait a couple of years, and that's where Betts and Trout and Bogarts and other guys will cash in.
All right, Everkeef is up next.
It's a full Everkeef till 7, and then Villani all the way until 10 o'clock. No baseball until Friday. So you have a lot of the night show. Never Mutt, obviously, but the night show itself does still exist.
And I'll be with you in Detroit on Friday.
All right.
I'll be
Dale's back on the call.
Hey, hold on, hold on.
Wait a minute.
Keith won't be there.
Oh, I'm not in on Friday.
Oh, is it right. Is it something I said?
No. Just I got a wedding to go to. So doing a little wraparound along weekend.
I was going to say there's no superhero movies that's coming out then.
No, it's not a movie. Yeah, what's out this weekend?
Did you go see Skyscraper yet?
I've not seen Skyscraper, Dale. I'm not as big of a fan of The Rock as you are.
What?
I know it's hard to believe. I've not seen Skyscraper.
Great. I don't know you anymore.
Great article about The Rock, actually, in USA Today, when basically saying that he's a franchise now. It doesn't matter where you put him. Every single movie that he's been in has been a success, even Rampage.
But are his movies good?
That's not part of this conversation.
Wait, what about that Hercules movie? That was not a success.
That was the last
one. They really. What about Tooth Fairy?
That was before. This
oh,
is like current,
a new. Like, so you know Kevin Pollak? Do you know Kevin Pollak is the actor? He drove me nuts. So when The Rock was first getting into movies, this was like The Mummy Returns or whatever, or Scorpion King, like back then. He went on, and this is when I used to watch like the late shows a lot, like Letterman and Kilborn. He went on in twice in 1 week. Kevin Pollak went on two different night shows to promote whatever he was on. And he goes, "Hey, Rock, I got two words for you, like two words of advice for you."
Was he doing like a DX?
Yeah. No. He goes, "Hulk Hogan." And then he gets this big laugh, like Hulk Hogan's like this terrible movie star. I'm like, so first of all, you were wrong, and you recycled the joke twice in a week on national TV.
And come on, bro. We all saw The Rock beat Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18.
Correct. Well, we all saw it.
After the weekend for Skyscraper, Rock's career box office.
It was like $1 billion.
No, it's like $10 billion
dollars
now.
Me. All right, it's like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he's the money he's making. You want to dip into Kevin Pollak's IMDb lately?
I am not. Yeah,
not real good since A Few Good Men. I'm just going to put it there.
I was going to say he's in Usual Suspects.
A little role on a show called Shark that didn't last.
He was
very
in a
long.
Show called Shark. Exactly. He's making fun of The Rock. I'm like, yeah, you wish you were The Rock.
All right, I got to get out
All
of
right,
here.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Up next. Villani will be in here as well. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly. Auto Parts.